Barb mentioned her life verse is actually found in the book of Proverbs and chapter 3. And I'm going to take a few minutes this morning to carry on our series, our summer series, which we've called Get Smart. And what we want to do is look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, the first 12 verses. So if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you just to turn to those. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. You know, you may have noticed that our lives are filled with choices. If you're the parent of young ones and you and your husband work, I'm sure you've spent time over these last weeks trying to choose what the summer activities were going to be for your children, to provide the adequate daycare. Are you going to send them to Nest Lake for a week? Are you going to enroll them in soccer camp or a hockey camp or some other activities to keep them focused while you're at work? And if you're one of those folks who's trying to decide on a vacation, a summer vacation, you're having to choose between what mom would like to do, perhaps different from what dad would like to do, perhaps different from what the kids would like to do. There's all kinds of choices that confront us. In just a few, two more weeks, I'm going to leave on one of my cross-Canada motorhome trips to visit little grandchildren off in Ontario, and I'm amazed at the number of different choices that I'm having to make around what routes to take, around where we plan to stop, how long we plan to travel. And it just seems like there's no end to the number of choices that are out there. And this morning, we want to carry on in Proverbs and look at Proverbs chapter 3. And if I had a title, I would call this Choose Right to Live Right, because there are, in this passage from verses 1 to 12, there are quite a variety of choices that we are presented. I'll put it up on the screen, and we can follow and read together. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. This is reading from the New Living Translation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord. Turn away from evil, and then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. And then He will fill your barns and grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. Don't be upset when He corrects you, for the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we come before you, and we ask for hearts to be open, for ears to hear the things that you want to say to us from this passage of your word. Father, we surrender this time to you and ask that by your Spirit you would lead us and guide us. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. These 12 verses contain what I would call about seven pearls of wisdom. They give us a series of choices that we can make. If you look back over the last few years, I'm part of that baby boom generation, as you can tell. And over these last number of years, there has been an industry that has grown up. It's called the self-help industry. And they say a couple of years ago it was worth over $12 billion in books and materials and seminars in the U.S., known for people like Oprah and Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz. But even if you look today, if you're on Facebook, and you look at the feed that comes through, all the sponsored ads that come to you offering something that's going to be some form of self-help. But what is it? What are they really offering? What they're trying to offer you or to sell you and I is hope. Hope that if we purchase the product or the service that they're offering, that our bodies will look different from what they do today, or our financial situation will be different from what it is. But we're not here to talk about self-help. What we want to do is look at the words of Solomon in terms of wisdom from God through God's word. The first pearl that I draw your attention to, we see in verse 1 and 2. It says, "My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying." You know, we can choose to live our lives, live them based upon God's word, or we can choose to ignore God's word. Justin reminded us last week, and I must put in this little plug. If you weren't here last Sunday, go online and check on the website for the message that Justin brought last week on guarding our hearts. It was a wonderful message. I really encourage you, if you weren't here, to go and listen to it. But if we choose to begin to live our lives based upon God's word. We read in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And what we begin to find is that as we read, as we take in, as we memorize God's word, he does light the path before us. He shows us what to do. Back when I was newly married, Annie and I, as a young married couple, wanted to buy a house. We were living in New Zealand at the time. In the mid-1970s, you could buy a house, a newly built, what they called a spec home, for somewhere in the $25,000 to $30,000, that range. Now, we had a budget, and our mortgage approval took us up to the value of a house of $25,000. We also had a real estate agent, and as they do, they take you to show you houses that are typically just a little bit above what you can afford or what you want to pay. And we discovered our agent had done this. They'd taken us to a home which both Annie and I were enamored with. We liked what we saw, the area that it was in. And we were really taken. And then he dropped the clanger at the end and said, "Oh, by the way, this home sells for $30,000. And we thought, well, why bring us here? You know what our limitations are. In the end, he came back to me and he said, "Listen, I've talked to the builder, and here's what the builder would like to do. He's willing to say that the house is only $25,000 so that you can get approved for your mortgage. What he wants you to do is just sign this little promissory note over here for $5,000. That way he gets his full price, you get the house that you want." And both Annie and I saw this as an offer of deception at the time. What was interesting, we had to come back the following day with a decision. What were we going to do? And that morning in our devotions, we opened up the scriptures to Psalm 84, 11. And it reads, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. No good thing." Sorry, let me back up. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And both of us saw that just here from God's word. He was saying, walk with integrity. Do the right thing. And so we decided on reading that we were going to pass on this house. It did get sold to someone else. However, within days, this agent came back to us and said, I have some amazing news. You remember the house that you looked at a couple of weeks ago? It was a different one. We liked it even more than the one that we had just turned down. That house also was priced at $30,000. And he said, when I talked to the builder knew that you wanted it but couldn't afford it. And so he's agreed to drop his price from $30,000 to $25,000. And so the house is yours if you want it. And it became our first family home. The interesting thing with that was that that was an illustration early in our married life of the importance of listening to God's word and responding accordingly. And over the years, we had numerous times when we would be presented with decisions that maybe strayed off into the area, the gray area of dishonesty. And one or other would remind each other of Psalm 84 and verse 11. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And so when we store up God's commands within our hearts, we then are given guidance in terms of how we should live, and we can apply God's wisdom to the decisions that we make. But the choice is ours. We can either live according to God's word or we can ignore it. That is our choice. This pearl number two is found in verses 3 and 4. Where it says, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. The focus here is what our character is. Are we people who are both kind and loyal? Because if we are, then that's going to impact our reputation. And the message refers to this as love and loyalty. You know, for those, I'm not really a necklace person, but I know guys that wear a cross, which they seek to communicate with that. Ladies who put on fine jewelry, you look at that and you can appreciate something of beauty. It's an external thing. And here, loyalty and kindness, they're to be evident in our lives, in the actions of our lives, to the point that others can see that these are characteristics that we carry as God's people. Pearl number three speaks of the verse that Barb shared earlier. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your own understanding. What's it mean to trust someone or something? You know, the dictionary definition says it's a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, or the strength of someone or something. We live in a world where constantly around us we see betrayal of trust. And you may have been on the receiving end of this in a relationship, or with family members who promised to do one thing but then have gone off and done something else, and you've trusted them, but you felt betrayed by a lack of them fulfilling their commitments. You may have seen this last week an elderly lady on TV being interviewed. She worked for the Sears Company for all her life, and as she worked for them, she was putting money into her retirement fund so that in her later retirement years, she would have income to live on. She put her faith and trust in the company that when it came time to withdraw those funds, they would be there. And of course, this week, as an act of preparing for bankruptcy protection, Sears announced they were no longer going to pay out those retirement funds. They didn't have to under the law. And yet here is this one of many thousands of people who their retirement security was based upon the monies that they had trusted to the company. There's a betrayal of trust that many of us have experienced, but we are told to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. Sometimes when we've been betrayed, we take on this attitude that I can only trust in myself. I can't trust in anyone else. And I remember talking to my father in his later years, and through a whole series of circumstances, his approach to life was only trust in myself. And that's a sad place to be. We are told here, trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, in every situation, in the impossibilities that get thrown at us in life. Pearl number 4, verse 6 says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Psalm 55, 17 says, morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. Psalm 37, 5 tells us, if we commit everything we do to the Lord, we trust him, he will help us. And so we are encouraged to seek his will. When we lay aside our plans and we're seeking God's will, we can have the faith and the trust and the confidence that God will show us a way through. Pearl number 5 is found in verses 7 and 8. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom, it says. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dave was talking to us about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the foundation of true knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. You know, it's so easy for us to ignore the consequences of disobedience. And we take for granted, we don't fear the Lord, we don't see him with a reverential respect. And so we go off doing our own thing, and then we face the consequences of our actions. And sometimes, if you're like me, I come back and I go, why me, Lord? Well, it's quite obvious why me. Because I was disobedient. I was following my own desires. Pearl number 6 talks about choosing to honor the Lord with our wealth. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. And then with that command comes a promise. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. You know, when we honor someone, we do what we've promised to do. We do what is our duty to do. And something I've noticed is throughout Scripture, we're called to be generous as God's people, to exhibit a spirit of giving. That opposite of generosity is selfishness, it's stinginess. I've been encouraged just looking on Facebook and seeing the many offers of help that are being put out there, people who have hay and are saying, hey, we've got pastures where you can bring your animals. We have hay which we'll make available. There's no cost. We'll offer a place for you to stay if you're an evacuee. And it's great to see generosity being expressed. But if we ever want an indicator of the level of our own of our surrender to Jesus, if we want to see a barometer of our surrender, the level of our surrender to Jesus, the only thing we need to look at is the level of our generosity. What do we do with what God has entrusted us with? How do we take what He's entrusted us and use it to honor Him? You know, back in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, it said, those who honor me, I will honor. And Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So the promise that comes as we're obedient to the command to honor God with our wealth is that we will indeed be refreshed. We will indeed receive God's blessing. If we choose to ignore that command, it's pretty hard to expect that we're going to reap the benefits of the promise that is attached to it. Pearl number 7 is, don't reject the Lord's discipline. It says, my child, verse 11, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when He corrects you. For the Lord corrects those He loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. Hebrews 12:5 says, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? And He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't give up when He corrects you. And in Job 5 and verse 17, it says, but consider the joy of those corrected by God. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin. You see, discipline is actually training that makes people more willing to obey or more able to control themselves. That's what discipline is. It makes them more willing to obey or more able to control ourselves. And because God loves us, He knows that when we sin, when we're disobedient, when we turn our backs upon the wisdom that He offers to us, and we decide to do our own thing, there are going to be consequences for our actions. And He disciplines us because He loves us. He wants the very, very best for us. So through these 12 verses, we see, and I would encourage you maybe this afternoon or some point this week, go back and just reflect on those 12 verses. Reflect on those 7 pearls of wisdom that have been offered to us. You know, in order for us to live a life that's full of God's blessing, we're called upon to make wise choices. God doesn't force His will upon us, but rather He seeks to guide us, direct us, so that our obedience will then result in His best being our experience. That out of our obedience, we experience the very best that God has for us. So maybe to close, when we choose right, when we make the wise choices, then we get to live our life as God intended us to live it. We get to live it right. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Father, for the wisdom that is offered to us through Your word. Father, forgive us for so many times when we think we know best, when we seek to do things in our own strength and in our own way, when we fail to trust in you with all our hearts, when we fail to seek you and understand your wisdom, your direction for the decisions that we face. Father, for the times when we fail to honor you with the wealth that you've bestowed upon us, when we fail to give you the best. Father, we pray for your forgiveness and for your cleansing of the precious blood of Jesus over these things. And our prayer this morning is that, Lord, you would empower and enable us to be a people who hear your word, who receive it, and who obey it. And we thank you this day as we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.